Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Happy Thanksgiving Day. Well, no, right? I'm sorry, but it's just that this text has always been read on Thanksgiving Day, and it's kind of awkward to have it pop up somewhere else in the church year. The story of the 10 lepers and the one returning to give thanks seems fitting for that day of national Thanksgiving, or the harvest festival that our lectionary likes to call it. But right here in the middle of Pentecost, we have an example set before us of the church, the visible church and the invisible church. Just a quick refresher on your Sumerian history, just to make sure you're understanding what's going on here. The Samaritans are a people whose Jewish heritage had been adulterated through intermarriage with those whose observant Judaism was regarded as corrupted by the proper Jews. Samaritans descended from Israelites left behind after Assyria's destruction of the northern kingdom. They inhabited the area between Judea and Galilee. The Samaritans accepted as authoritative only the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses. They worshipped at Mount Gerizim, and they rejected worshipping at Jerusalem as the proper place of worship, which is probably why they were despised so horribly by the Jews. Most Jews regarded all Samaritans as outside the bounds of the covenant people and avoided them all as if they all had leprosy. Unless, of course, apparently they had leprosy. Because misery loves company. We must remember when we're looking at Jesus that he's not most Jews. So instead of taking the normal Jewish route to go around this area to avoid running into the Samaritans, Jesus passes right through. He's on his southernward journey to Jerusalem, and as you and I know, to the Roman cross, followed by an empty tomb. And here he is greeted by the cries of the 10 lepers. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This cry for mercy is one we join our voices with in the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And this cry is a cry out of desperation and faith. Which is why this is a fitting cry for the church. One of those 10, of these 10, are confessing their God-given faith by calling out for God's rescue, just as we did today. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, the pastor said, on all our behalfs. And we confessed our sins. The other 9, it appears based on Jesus' response, are not crying out on faith, but rather on desperation. The lepers are much like us. They publicly declare themselves to be unclean as we confessed. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. And when with the ten lepers, Jesus shows his merciful heart, the merciful heart of God, as he heals them, telling the lepers, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Just as every one of you here today were cleansed. Maybe you didn't feel it. But you see, it's not about your feelings. You had your cry for mercy answered. Your sins are forgiven. Ask every last one of them, even the ones you struggle to let go of, even the ones that make this day and all days uncomfortable for you, to be with coworkers or classmates or family and friends. This is what the holy absolution is. For as the pastor declares to you today, Almighty God in his mercy has given you his son to die for your sins, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For the Christian, the absolution is a life-changing declaration from God to you through your pastor. Your sins are really forgiven. They're forgiven before God and forgiven before man. To this gift, all I can say is thanks be to God. Or you might just say, amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. Go and show yourselves to the priest. The 10 were cleansed at the speaking of the word. The word made flesh. Just as God has spoken you clean today. You are clean even if you don't feel it. Because it's not about your feelings, but rather about the word. It's about the word and work of Jesus that makes us clean, that sets us free, and declares us forgiven. Jesus brings God's mercy to all. He is the one crushed for our iniquities. He is the one pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brings us peace was placed upon him. Luther, in speaking of this, writes, "It was not for himself and for his own sins, but for our sins and griefs. He bore what we should have suffered. Here you see the fountain from which St. Paul draws countless streams of the suffering and merits of Christ. And he condemns all religions, merits, and endeavors in the whole world through which men seek salvation." Note the countless sects who to this day are toiling to obtain salvation. But here the prophet says, he is for us. It is difficult for the flesh to repudiate all its resources and to turn away from self and to be carried over to Christ. It is for us who have merited nothing, not to have regard for our merits, but simply to cling to the word between heaven and earth, even though we do not feel it. Unless we have been instructed by God, we will not understand this. Luther, writing on his commentary, his lectures on the prophet Isaiah, declaring the facts that those who strive to seek to earn salvation, those who strive to seek that they think they merit what God provides for them, have nothing. And those who rely solely on the promises of God have everything. So our text lays before us the sad reality that not all who have been cleansed will return to give thanks to the one they cried out in their time of despair for to have mercy on. Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Only one was found to return and give thanks to God, and he a Samaritan. And while misery was able to break down the walls that separated the Jews and the Samaritans as they suffered in their leprosy together, it's amazing how quick those walls spring back up once healing has occurred. They were okay crying out for help together, but now they are done. The group of 10 is a picture of the church that doesn't worry about petty prejudices because we are in despair over our sins. We have no problem crying out together, rich and poor, young and old, no matter what race we are. We cry out together, "Lord, have mercy on us." And yet, like the visible church, which has believers and unbelievers in it, we quickly forget our cry when the troubling issues pass us by, and we are quick to return to our old routine of sin and separation. This is why it is important for the Christian life to be one of repeatedly crying out for the Lord to have mercy on us and rejoicing in His unending mercy. To the Samaritan, Jesus said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The faith of the Samaritan knew to rely on God to provide, and God does. And we would do well to learn from this valuable lesson. Nowhere does the text, though, tell us that Jesus removed his merciful healing from the other nine. They were still cleansed because he is merciful. Their thankless attitude robbed them of thanking God in the flesh, though, and kept them with a God who is distant, and at their best kept them under the law and that unbearable burden that the law places upon us. But God desires that we know him. After all, he has revealed himself to us in the flesh of his only begotten Son, in the Word that dwells among us. And he washes us clean in the waters of holy baptism, and he feeds us in with and under the bread and wine today, the very body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He is a very personal and up-close God, in-your-lips kind of God. And the God-man Jesus humbled himself to be conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, to suffer under Pontius Pilate for us, and to die a sinner's death on the cross, as he is the one who would crush the serpent's head at Golgotha, the place of the skull. And Satan's headship is crushed, and no more can Satan claim us as those forsaken of the Father, because Jesus was forsaken in our place. No more can death have claim over us, for Jesus died our death. No more need we be separated from God and one another, for the God-man has reconciled us to God and to ourselves. See how God has answered our cry for mercy. Dear friends in Christ, rise and go your way. Your God-given faith has made you well. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.